As I said, we're going to have Alan come and share with us. You know, Jesus Christ said, the thief comes to steal and destroy. He said, I come that you might have life. And is one of the things is this testimony is the proof of Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Hallelujah. And he gave us life. And we do have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So come on up and I'll give you a... Turn on this. Yeah, this one here.
How's everybody feeling? Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. All right, I just want to give a testimony, powerful testimony, about how the Word works and how when you put the Word to work, it will work for you. That God is no discerner of persons. What He's done for me this last 2 weeks, in this last 2 week situation, He'll do for any of y'all. If Amen. You trust in His Word and you believe in it, you stand on it and put it to work Amen. In your life.
Amen.
All right, so as many of you know, I had a surgery on my foot back on December 4th for a pre-existing condition I had. And I just want to make it known that, like, I love Pastor's teaching. I just want to thank him for that, thank God for him, because it always works. And 2 months before that surgery, me and my wife came into agreement that I would have no pain. I would have no pain medication. I'm sorry. It's exactly what I prayed. No pain medication. I would have a speedy recovery, and I would have my mind's drawing a blank. No complications during the surgery. Okay, got all of that. Praise God. I'm a little over a month out of surgery, and I'm walking already. Thank you, Jesus. Well, anyways, that took effect. Everything I asked for. Where I missed it was I never asked God to give me complications through the recovery. That's where I missed it. And just a word to the wise, be specific in what you want from God, because He answers and He gives you what you ask for. So you have not because you ask not. So I didn't ask for full, no complication through the whole recovery process. So that brings me to 2 weeks ago. I had a beautiful time here at worship. This is how the devil will attack you when you least expect it. I'm only 51 years old, and I'm perfect health, and I love the Lord. Don't mind my leg. I don't know why my leg is shaking. It's over here going like this and making my whole body gyrate. But I love the Lord, and I live the Word. I don't know the Word front to back. I don't know all that stuff, but I know the Word works. I know that if we have faith in it, and you believe in it, you stand on it, and you live by it, you will be blessed by it. So, and that leads me to 2 weeks ago. I was here. We had a beautiful service. We went and saw my father-in-law. Fine. Felt fine, just like I do right now. We went home for the controversy, Eagles-Bills game, and everybody knows I'm a Bills fan. So I was all hyped up, and I was ready to give it to them, my cousin Jay and my wife, diehard Eagles fans over here, bitch. anyways, we sat down, man, my leg is really going, to enjoy this game, whatever the result may be. And all of a sudden, I got sharp pain in the right side of my chest, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is not normal. And me, being a person of faith, let me go back one second to say that I pray everything off of me. Like Pastor says, I love his teaching, man. Let me just say this. You never learn to appreciate what life is until your life is almost taken. Take a deep breath. That's the breath of life. Imagine how, I know what Pastor said he felt when you don't have that breath. You can't because you don't have it. You know what I mean? That's how good God is, that He's the breath of life, and we got to remember that. But anyways, I sat down to watch the game, and I started having pain, and I said, nope, this ain't mine. I rebuked this in the name of Jesus. I'm whole and well. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, pain went away. Commanded it. I said, pain, I command you to hear and obey the spoken word of God, and go. Pain went. So I'm sitting there, and then 5-10 minutes later, it came back again. I'm like, oh my goodness. Now it's up my neck. Now it's around my back. And then my cousin Jay was there. He's a paramedic, and he's like, do you get relief when you put your hands above your head? So I did, and I was like, yeah. He goes, well, you're not having a heart attack. I said, praise the Lord for that. And I still sat there and I refused to go to the hospital. I was like, nope, I'm going to pray this thing off. It's going away. Then my head got really hot and I had a major migraine. Like I'm talking a thumping migraine, like nothing I never had before. Pain head to, like from here to my waist was pain like you could never imagine. Pastor could probably relate a little from his situation. He knows. And but we don't receive that. So I prayed it off. I said, nope, this pain got to go. This pain got to go. It stayed. It came on harder. And a little voice spoke to me. And this is why I love Pastor's teaching where he says, you listen to the Holy Spirit. Be still and listen. So I was just sitting there and I was just like, nope, this is going away. This is going away. It's going away. Wouldn't go away. And I heard this little voice say, go to the hospital. Not in me. An audible voice spoke to me and said, go to the hospital. I looked at my wife, Jason, and my cousin. I said, we're going. So they put me in the pickup truck. They called an ambulance. We live in the back road. So they had to get me to 443 and they got me there and the ambulance refused to take me to Reading, which is a level five hospital or whatever. We don't have that out where we live. And my wife and my cousin were like, nope, we're not playing around with this. We're taking him to Reading then. You ain't going to take him. We're taking him. So they let me. You had something to say? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. I don't want to not let you say what you're going to say. But anyways, they put me back in the truck. But I want you to get this point too. And I told my wife, I'm sorry it's taking longer than I planned, but I want to get the details out of this of how the Holy Spirit works if you just listen. So I was sitting there and my wife, of course she's in panic. I mean, I would have, not in panic. Now I'm not saying she didn't have faith, but it's if you see something happening to your spouse in front of you, You definitely nerves are going to rise up. We're human. You know what I mean? But anyway, she kept asking me, are you okay? Are you okay? In the back of the truck. Cause if you black out and something's not going right with you, you could go in a coma. But anyway, the Lord just kept speaking to me. Stay calm. Stay calm. So every time she would ask me, are you okay? I'm like, fine. Knowing in my body, I was not fine. My body was telling me, no, you ain't. Your head is pounding. You feel these pains going through you. I was just like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Are you awake? Yep. I'm awake. So I opened my eyes. So she knew that I was awake. But anyway, they got me to the hospital. They rushed me in. I don't understand all the tests. There was at least 50 to 60 people in this emergency room. Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. Oh, my goodness. That's one of the key points, too. There's a lot going through your head when you try to play this back. But anyway, I just want to thank God for my cousin and for my wife. Because when that happened to me on the couch, I couldn't pray for myself. Every little breath I had, every little, because it was shortness of breath, I praised God. Thank you, Jesus. They were praying for me. My wife was praying in tongues from the instant it happened. Because I needed someone in that moment to stand in the gap for me. Because I couldn't do it for myself. This is so important, like Pastor always says, about having an equally yoked partner in your life or hanging around people that know the word, know what to do in a blink of an eye. Because seconds wasted, I could not be standing here right now. You know? So you got to remember that you got to know how to put the word to work. You can't sit there and be like, please, Lord, please, please just save him. No. My wife was on command, commanding things. Satan, you get your hands off of him. You have no hold on his life. Yeah. And my cousin Jay, all the way through this whole process, all I did is glorify God with every little breath I had. And anyways, when I got to the hospital, they gave me an EKG. I remember that. I don't remember the other testing they gave me. But anyway, they had me in the bed. I was calm. No vitals, no nothing. I didn't have a fever. I just had my head was hot and it was pounding. So anyways, they ran tests on me and stuff like that. And they asked me, they said, do you know what caused this? And I said, no, I had surgery on my feet. I had on my ACL, MCL. I got a plate in my arm. I've never had any issues with surgery. And they gave me blood testing and they, for, what is that called? Whatever it is, a family thing, like a history of blood clots or something like that. And I was like, no, I don't have any of that. Well, anyways, I was laying there and I did, said I did have pain in my leg though. And they were like, oh, okay, well, you had surgery on that leg. So it's a possibility. They ran ultrasound tests that came back. I had a blood clot in my calf. Never noticed it. Back 2 weeks before that. That's how good God is. And I missed it though. That's where I missed it. back when I had that pain in my calf, I said to my wife, I got pain. And she said, all right, are you sure you're all right? I said, yeah, you know me, I got faith. I pray that thing off. So I did. I said, Lord, I command this pain. I'm not Lord. I said, Satan, I command that this pain needs to go. Jesus' name. Went away. Didn't have no pain. I never commanded the source. That's where I missed it. I could have stopped it back then, but I missed it. I didn't say any source that's causing this pain. I command you to be loosed. You know what I mean? Like that you don't have no stronghold on me and it doesn't affect me. But anyways, that's where I missed it. But God is so good. God is so good. Anyway, that clot went up my leg. It cannot go higher than your knee. So it went up to my knee, broke off, and went into my lung. So when I was in the hospital and they did the results came back, it came back that over half of my right lung was full of blood. I should not have been living at that point. So when the doctor came in and they were blocking the screen so I couldn't see anything, and the doctor broke out in a profuse sweat from head to toe. I'm like, I never seen this before. Like, wow. And then later on, I was told that, you know, he was amazed that you were even living at that point. And your vitals were normal. They asked me, do you feel like you're losing consciousness or anything's confusing? Are you delusional? No, perfectly fine. Praise the Lord. You know, so anyways, I was there and, they told me that. And then they had the results of everything about me. And through all that, my wife's commanding things off of me. Cause like I said, every little breath I had, I couldn't pray for myself. But anyways, I'm missing something. Oh, yeah. His teaching, man. Forgive me. I can't remember. Everything's like jumbled in my head, but his teaching replayed in my head, like over and over. And my wife said to me, we need to ask God where we missed it. Because this should not have happened to me. And right away, she asked me, and I just shook my head no. Not that anything I could think of. I spoke to the Lord. Yep. Did I miss it? Nope, I didn't miss it. Then she said about Kenneth Hagin's story, about what happened to him was because of something with her. So she went before the Lord and asked the Lord if there's anything where she missed it. No, it wasn't. It was just something that just came about, the devil's attack, and we were just victim of it, you know. But anyways, I was that night I got pain in my left side. I had finally got pain medication. Stuff subsided a little bit, the sharp pains. And then I was woken up out of nowhere, like a real sharp pain on my left side. And I was like, we were like, oh, is this normal? Is this normal? They said, yeah, the pain subsides one place and goes to the other. And my wife, man, she's faithful, man. She just stood there and just kept casting these things down, like commanding the devil to loose, whatever, whatever. And I had peace. I was able to rest. And while I did that, because I couldn't really speak too much Sunday night, she gave me healing scriptures by Kenneth Hagin. And you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word. So I laid this phone on my chest and let these healing scriptures play through my mind all night long. And even though you don't sleep all night, they're coming and primming and probing you. So you don't get very much sleep. But anyways, the power of God and the word works, like as long as you put it to work, you know. And I love the fact that you know you can stand on your faith when you can stand on your faith. It's all well and good when everything's going good. But when your back's against the wall and your life is on the line, you find out how much faith you really have. And bless my wife, she said, do you want to call pastor? I said, nope. I said, we got this. And she said, that's my husband. So anyway, nothing against pastor, but he's not our God. You know what I mean? We went before the Lord. We told the Lord everything was going to be fine. We never spoke the problem. We always spoke the resolution. Thank you, Lord, he's well. Thank you, Lord, that this is not going to take his life, that you will live and you will not die. We didn't tell anyone. That's another thing pastor always says, because you don't want no one coming against what me and her were already in agreement for. And Jason knew, because he was there the whole time. But we didn't tell no one else. because you got to keep your faith on what you're standing for. And then I think it was Tuesday morning, we called, you text Pastor and asked him to stand in agreement. But that was after the worst of it was over and we knew that I was out of the claws of death. But praise God, it didn't have no hold on me. And just be confident in your walk with the Lord. Know that the word works and always put it to work. Don't wait until you're in a life or death situation to put your faith to work. Like, I love how Pastor says, you get a headache, pray that thing off of you, man. So you know if the doctor gives you a bad report or you're caught in an instant situation like I was, you know right away to command that thing. You're not going to sugarcoat it. You're not babying it. You're taking your authority in Christ and you're putting it down that the devil has no hold on you. Amen. Amen? All right, y'all be blessed. If you ain't seen a miracle from God, anybody in here, you're looking at it. Because I should not be standing here. The devil had an idea, but God had a plan. And here I am.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I can definitely relate to some things of going through the same type of thing and knowing what it's like. You know, it only hurts if you breathe. That's the way, hey, and I'm serious. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
If you could hold your breath, but the whole point is when you could take a breath, then you couldn't take much of one. Mm-hmm. And when you took a breath, it was so painful. It would be, the pain would be so strong. It would be like you'd sort of like cause you to freeze. And you just like tighten up because then you couldn't breathe. That was her. You're going through that. And that's what I went through when I had went through the thing. And I just praise God. It's the whole thing of it is understanding that the Word of God works. I'm not saying that, and we want to get a hold of this, that, you can't ask people to pray. We need to understand, though, the fact when you got a hold of something and you're moving a direction, you don't want to just ask anybody to come along and pray, because people many times will get into pray their direction. Mm-hmm. See, it was like when my wife, Wanda, had her heart valve problem. And it was just like from her standpoint, the surgeon said when her coming in, she, we walked into the ER and stuff. But he said, people that have your problem like you had, he said, they don't walk in here. They carry them in. And it's one of the things, see, is walking by faith. You need to understand about living the life of faith. Lots of things that majorly affect you. I found with my life, things that majorly will try to come along and affect me will not work as hard on me as it does other people. We need people who aren't in faith, people need to understand about walking and living this faith life. I've never even when I had a heart attack, I wasn't going through what people go through. Why? Because you live a life of faith. You have that work. You should have it working in you all the time. Faith ain't something you should try to pull out of your pocket when something happens. Amen. It's a way to live. Amen. It's a way to live about your health and life. See, the way you talk about it. And what I appreciated, with them is the fact of it is when they, Sherry did text me, they didn't text me about all the problems. One of the things I thought was really good, because this, number one, I knew where they were standing at, is the fact that they were, they were talking about that he was healed. Not that they were, we're trying to get something. The Bible says himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. By his stripes we were healed. We shouldn't be trying to get healed.
Amen.
We should be receiving our healing. Say, I am. I'm going to talk a little bit about that faith today, because the Spirit-filled life is really an important life to live. You don't hear a lot of people, don't live. If people aren't really into the Spirit-filled life, into this being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, aren't really a whole lot into the healing side of life. And so we need to understand this Spirit-filled life is a hugely, hugely important thing. And I've been teaching on this because we need to understand the Spirit-filled life takes you to live in another level. And I want you to get a hold of this. It's no condemnation to anybody, but the Spirit-filled life leads you to another level to live. And you want to cooperate with that. I will just guarantee you, the majority of teaching and preaching you're going to hear in the church world today is the majority of the people are not Spirit-filled. So they're not going to minister to you or even preach to you on a certain level. They'll have a certain level that they preach. Now, I'm not criticizing them. They're acting, thank God, they're believers, they're going to heaven. But you know, if you want to reach certain levels, you got to be taught on a level to get there. And somebody that ain't on that level can't take you there.
Amen.
We need to understand that. Now, see, some people think about you teaching, well, do you think you're better than other people? No, there's certain things I know more about.
Amen.
Well, I can't help that. You know, you learn things. You can sit around, you know, some people, they don't like the fact that somebody knows more than them. I like to know that somebody knows more than me, because that means you just run out of learning we've just run to the end of it. You know, I don't want to think like that. I want to definitely think that there's more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I want more.
Amen.
And so really the testimony, and I really just appreciate it because it dealt with the life thing. It's like when Cherry texts, she texts about him, you know, that said he's a healed man. That's what he is. He's a healed man.
Praise,
you know, she didn't say, you know, pray for him to be healed. You know, no, he is a healed man. That's what he is. Jesus took his infirmities and bore them. He's already received that fact for yourself. That you are.
Amen.
I'm going to see. Number one, I've learned over. I got a hold of this revelation when I was a young Christian. I mean, I'm talking about young. I mean, I wasn't even a year old in Christianity when I got the revelation, the fact that I am healed. That Jesus, just as He took my sin, He took my infirmities, I am healed. Never again do I ever try to get healed. I don't try to get healed. I am.
Amen.
Now, one of the things of it is, if you don't get that thinking on and think like that in your life, if that isn't the way that you think, then what's going to happen? You're going to have a problem and you're going to try to get healed. Now, thank His mercy and grace. I'm just amazed how God works with us. Because, you know, you have limited knowledge. Even when I start off, I got that revelation, but I had limited knowledge and things. Now, it was an interesting thing that I found out with Alan was the same thing that I was dealing with. It's one of the things is like dealing with pain. Now, he was talking about getting the pain to stop, but you know, he wasn't dealing with the fact of healing whatever the pain's causing. The pain comes from a source. What does it come from? Well, see, I did the same thing. When I had my blood clot in my lung, I was for hours keeping that pain down. But you know what? I was going for hours with it, keeping that pain down. I could stop it. But eventually it got to the point I couldn't stop it, and I realized there's something going on in me. See, you have what you say.
Yeah.
You need to think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now I could stop the pain, but I wasn't stopping the source of the pain. So the pain would return. The pain would come back. So, when I had that going on, and I finally said to the Lord, I said to the Lord myself, I said, what do I need to do? He said, you know what you need to do. And I just knew inside, go to the hospital. Well, see, at the hospital, now I want to tell you what, you need to have faith when you go to the doctor.
Amen.
If I wouldn't have had faith, I would have died. Faith kept him alive. It wasn't the doctors. There was a doctor who missed the blood clot thing to start off with, or he would have never ended up where he was to begin with. Doctor missed it. He went to a doctor and then told the doctor he's having pain in his leg, and the doctor ignored it. Same doctor that did the surgery. He ought to know if he had a surgery in his leg, he's having pain in his leg. Check that thing. Well, he didn't. You know why? He's a human. Makes mistakes. I ain't throwing rocks at the doctor. He's a human. This is why. When you put your trust as totally on people, don't be surprised there's things you will never overcome. But there's things that through faith in Christ, He'll cause you to overcome on the whole thing. Well, you know, and it's like he said, he's dealing with the pain. Well, in my chest, I was dealing with the pain, but I wasn't dealing with the source. Well, when I got in the hospital, thank God that my faith was working, because when I got there, they took me in and they started, I couldn't breathe. I had this pain here in my chest, and all I can think of is like somebody stabbing you with a knife. And the only time it quits hurting was when you quit breathing and you ain't got much oxygen to begin with. And it's just a vicious sort of like circle of what's going on. And you get this pain and I'd hold my breaths. Oh, so the pain would subside some, but then you'd have to take breath. Oh, and it would just be back and just keep coming back to you. You know, you're just going over this and over this. But they turned around and did a gallbladder test on me. And I'm thinking, I got pain here on my right side, and they're doing gallbladder tests. And I'm thinking, what on earth are they doing? Well, they're just human beings and sometimes dumb as a stick. And they ran some other stupid test on me. And then finally, they said, you know, well, they think there's something going on in your lung. I thought, oh, dear, I'm telling you, I can't breathe. And I said, what do you think? What this might be? You know? Number one, they weren't keeping me alive. What kept me alive was this. Is I got being in faith with God. Because I said to Wanda, I need these people. I need to hear from God. That's what I need to do. I need to hear from God. I don't need to hear from another medical person. I don't need to hear from one more of them. I need to hear from God. There's something going on here. And I told the Lord that. And the doctors and the nurses went out of the room. Just like that. You know, you ask God something. See, ask and you shall receive. So I was sitting there and I could hear. I said, Lord, you know, what's going on? And I said, one of the things it is, and I've taught before, and I asked the Lord, did I miss it anywhere? You know, did I open the door anywhere that caused this to happen? I want to, am I holding any animosity against somebody? Am I not walking in love or whatever? Am I done something that opened the door of the devil? Because, you know, God ain't after me. Amen. But I don't want to give the devil opportunity. And the Lord said to me, don't be concerned. Everything's okay. And I looked over at Wanda and said, it's all right. I said, I got this thing now. I got it. And I started recovering even before they found out what was wrong with me. Till they sent me the MRI. They sent me down on MRI to look at my lung. I was already feeling fine. I was feeling all right. I didn't have all this pain and stuff going on. I was feeling okay. Hallelujah. And so they said, well, you have a blood clot in your lung. Then they got excited. So it's a little late, folks. We're getting excited now. But see, is that there walking by faith, and I can relate, you know, what I know what you go through in this thing and that stuff is standing by faith, and faith works.
Amen.
And it's one of the things you have to learn, and we want to talk about this because this is, you want to overcome in areas. Number one is have, like he said, having what you say. You can turn around and be talking about a thing. It's like the Lord spoke to me many years back explaining some things to me about in the areas of healing. He said this to me. He said, you could have a headache for, the Lord told me this. He said, you could have a headache for many reasons. He said, you could have a head, you know, just a regular tension headache. And he said, you take a medication and you'll feel all right. Or he said, you could have a headache that's caused by this, that. He said, if you have a brain tumor, he said, you could take medication. You might feel, pain might go away. But he said, the problem ain't gone. And it's understanding that about yourself. You know, we have the tendency, it's like with me, I hate pain. I want to stop pain. That's what I want to stop pain. I don't like pain. It's good. Well, it's like with me, it's finding out, you know, what's causing my problem. You know, am I believing right? I'm confessing something and it's taking place. But I weren't confessing something else. See, I'm dealing with a blood clot in my life. I just want to get rid of the pain. But, you know, I ended up in the hospital and found out, you know, my stopping the pain wasn't fixing the problem. that wasn't fixing the problem. And thank God for what doctors can do. I mean, hallelujah. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said, there's a lot of Christians that are alive today because of doctors. Because, you know, they they couldn't keep themselves alive. And thank God for what they can do. But I want you to, you can stay out of a lot of problems yourself. It's number one, I learned this. I don't expect a doctor to be God to me.
Amen.
I have a responsibility about my health.
Amen.
And God has placed my health and my longevity of life into my hands. They're not in anybody else's. They're in yours. Go read the 91st Psalm. He's going to satisfy you with long life. You determine, you know. Say, well, you know, God had this person die for a reason. God ain't a God of death.
That's right.
Come on.
That's
right.
See, if you get you thinking wrong about stuff, how do you think about things? See, we need to get over, and this thing's a walking by faith. You know, it's like they, you know, concerned, they want to know, what would solve the problem to him finding out if somebody in his family had blood clots? Who cares? We're dealing with me now.
Amen.
What? That's the stupidest thing in the world. Is that going to change anything to find out Cousin Harry had a blood clot? No. See, medical science, I'm going to tell you need to understand, we're living in a different world today.
Amen.
And you got to learn to take care of yourself.
Amen.
Because there's not a lot of qualified people out there to take care of you. You know, doctors today, let me just say this. A lot of the medical people today, they operate just like you do when you give a call and your cell phone ain't working right. And the person you're talking to, they're reading a thing off a screen, taking you through all this stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what you're dealing with. I found out medical science does. People are being trained coming out of places today, and they operate. You go through these systems of things. And you know what? It don't matter if the problem's over here. We have to go and through all these things till we get over there. And that is not a good thing. That's not, you know, you don't want to go to an emergency room and it's the guy reading off the computer. You know, thank God the guy shows up in the ambulance to pick you up. Thank God he ain't reading you all these things off a computer before he puts you in there and you're in bad shape. You know, they don't come to the guy in a car accident and you're going to have to answer all these questions for a week. No, we'll wait to get to the hospital and torment you. Now, okay. Thank God that they don't do that. Hallelujah. So, and I want you... We need to understand it's the same way with ourselves, you know, knowing the Word of God. Amen. See, many people have all the kind of religious systems they go through. Right. Have all their religious things. You know, people, what do you do in an emergency? What do you do as a Christian? What do you do? You know, most people, the first thing they think of is calling, you know, let's call so-and-so and I need prayer, I need help. They don't first thing is talk to God themselves. Usually the first things people don't, they don't. They don't talk to God themselves. They're looking for somebody else. They're looking for an answer out there. They have this system that they run through. And they go down through that things. And I found out first things, you gotta learn to talk to God. And if you learn and develop as a faith person, first thing you're going to respond to is God. It's the first thing you're going to do. Because there's no, you know, responding to people, you know, doing religious things, even asking for prayer, does not make you spiritual or in faith. It doesn't make it. You know, you could be just asking for somebody else's faith and not have any of your own. It's number one, having fellowship with God is knowing that God will respond to you. Amen. Is dealing with this. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 1 starts off and says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we need to understand this about, this is why it's developing. If we would go by the testimony here, what was seen is totally contrary to what he wants. There's nothing natural. Well, he goes to the hospital. Really? There's not much that you can do in those things. I remember I talked to the doctor afterwards in dealing with my blood clot. I said, what about you get a blood clot? What happens? He said, well, eventually, he says, your body has to absorb that in. And he said, eventually it'll absorb it and it'll be just dissipates and that stuff out. In other words, we really can't do a whole lot. There's not a lot that they can do for you. You know, they could give you some oxygen or they can do some things or do stuff. But I mean, there's not a lot that they can do to fix that. I mean, it's... the way it is. Well, you know, it's not their fault. I mean, it's dealing with that. And but you're going to have to deal with, we're dealing with unseen. See, if you can see something, you have to have, you know, it takes no faith at all. To go around confessing what you see, that doesn't require faith, or what you feel. Faith does this. We need to know, we have it, and I see using today, It's come back really a lot from the Obama administration. Started all this thinking, hope and change started. And see, a lot of people talk about hope. You know, hope is very good, but hope has no substance to it. You might know God, you can have the hope that God wants you well, but that's not going to get you healed. It requires faith. Hope has no substance to it. It isn't going to produce a thing without faith. Now, if you have hope to be healed, you can use faith. Faith will bring that hope to substance and you'll be healed. Without faith, it won't do it. Faith is something that you operate in when you can't see any good thing happening. You see, faith is what they were operating in when everything in the natural was completely the opposite. That's when you need faith. You don't need faith when everything's working good and you can see it, you know? You don't need faith then. Faith is what you have when you're looking and everything is not working. See, we need to get this needs clear. I remember this happened some time ago, many years ago. I was believing God in a certain thing, and it came to pass, and a person said this to me, "You didn't seem very excited that that happened." And I said to him, "Why should I get excited, real excited that it happened? I knew it was going to happen." I said, "I did my shouting when I couldn't see it. I did my little jigs of dancing when I couldn't see it. I believed I had it." I said, "The fact that it showed up wasn't nothing strange at all. And it wasn't nothing to shout at that time." See, this is most people. They have hope and don't realize they call it faith and they aren't in faith at all. They have hope. And you know why? I can always tell. If something comes to pass for them, they're shocked as everybody else. They're saying, "Oh yeah, wow, did you, God did this or God did that." Say, "Wow, I expected God would do that." Amen. You see, the text I got from Sherry, they were expecting, you know. Amen. They were expecting ugly had to leave. Right. They expected it had to go. There wasn't, her texted me, they weren't trying to get something. They were telling me what they have and they wanted, they said, "You agree with what we got?" Well, I said, "I can do that. I agree with what you got." Hallelujah. And so that's what we're agreeing with what they have. This is why you need to be careful. What you're believing, the direction you're believing, you want to make sure you have somebody, if you want agreement, who's agreeing in the direction you're going. You just, you know, lots of people, they even ask for prayer. Well, where's the person that asked you for prayer? Where are they believing? What direction are they heading? See, we you know, the church is mostly just gunslingers. Walk around and, you know, come out of the saloon and get on the street and let's just pull a trigger. You know, let's get out. There's not true direction. It's not, and we got to get around this thing. Because Jesus said, we know this, Jesus said about whatever you ask in prayer, believe and you're going to receive. Whatever you ask. He didn't say, you know, if you didn't ask for something, we'll take care of it anyhow. Jesus went on to say concerning Mark 11:23, "You're going to have what you say." So when we deal with areas of people, we ask people to pray for us. We're asking for people to join in agreement with us with something. Amen. The church doesn't take time to find out who's agreeing with what they're doing. We have shotgun prayer, you know. You know, we're just sort of just shooting it out there some and that stuff. And we're amazed when it does happen and thank God when it does. But many times God does what he does out of his great mercy and love. And we think it's because of our wonderful faith. Nah, he's just good to dummies. I know. He's been good to this dummy. He's done a lot of good things for this dummy. You know, where I was, you know, I was walking in a place, you know, pretty good. But he was very kind and blessed me. In spite of, just like we do for children, we do, you know, we take care of things with kids. You know, they don't know everything that's going on. And we do things for them in spite of. And in life, God does that for us. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? Don't stay ignorant.
Amen.
Don't stay ignorant. Because you can't stay a baby all your life. You won't make it.
Right.
We're living in a time, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't noticed, we're living in a time sickness and disease is starting to dominate and rule.
Preach.
I want to tell you what, you know, Tuesday, I'll finish my 76th year. I'll start into my 77th year. And I'm going to tell you what, there's tons of people my age and they ain't walking around good. And then I said to Wanda, I was in at the grocery store one day and I said, "Honey," I said, "I was in the grocery store," and I said, "It's during the day," and I said, "It's mostly older people were in there." And I said, "Over half of them, they're leaning over their carts walking through the store like this." I said, "Dear God," I said, "things are terrible."
Come on.
I know, you know, they're going to, you know, eventually they'll have every parking lot will be a handicapped parking space. you know. And every store will have to have 500 of those carts, the electric carts, to get into them. And people 50 years old will be in them and running around. I mean, did you see the thing that they put out about shoveling snow, the age? They said that people 50 years old shouldn't be shoveling snow. Yes. But the whole thing was, who am I going to get to do it? Now you think about that. Now, but you know what? Now, they said that. They talk about, well, all these different problems and things. And I thought, 50 years old and you can't shovel. Man, I can go out and shovel snow.
Amen.
I ain't dying, man.
Amen.
But you know what? The guys, you need to understand this. When you read medical things, there's one thing as I learn about them. Doctors ain't mostly talking to Ed. They're talking to all these people that are out here that have no faith in God, are in terrible shapes, and they're thinking, and their turnaround, their studies. They don't tell you that 95% of their people have nothing to do with God or walking around out here and that stuff, and they're doing studies on them.
Come on.
Come and do a study on Ed.
Amen.
I was in the hospital. When I had my blood clot, they didn't know what to think of me. They just kept coming out there. Are you sure you're all right? Are you sure? You know, you should be in bad shape. You know? What's wrong with you? You know, they don't know what to do with it. Why? So I ain't the guy in the study. What they're doing, and they've read up on all the studies, all the people can't make it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I understand where that's coming from. And you need to know about yourself. See, you want to walk over in the areas of faith. We don't want to be like the rest of the world. We want to be example to show them there's something better they can have.
Amen.
Quit just telling them God's good. Live it. That God is good. That God has been, that God does for you. See, I want to be the people, you know, people come and ask me, oh man, you know, maybe you have good jeans. Yeah, I have a pair of Levi's. I got some Kenneth Cole's and I got, no, I'll tell you, I got a good God.
Amen.
And faith in Him, He keeps me.
Amen.
Now, there's people ain't going to want to hear that, but I'm going to tell them what makes it work.
Amen.
And they can make fun of me all they want while they get in their cart and drive it around in the store.
Come on.
But I'm walking. I'll tell you what, I don't go to park up front at stores. I go way down in the lot. Why? I'm so thankful I can walk. I am so glad I can put one foot in front of the other and walk in through. You know, I'm believing God for a front row space. Get out and walk, you need it. You don't need a front row space. You know, move around a little bit. Thank God you can put one foot in front of the other. I am thankful I can do it. Hallelujah. You know, we need, however you think, understand, what do you think about life? Lots of people, I mean, they're thinking, their whole thing in life is how they can do less and get more. I'm thinking how I can do more and get more.
Amen.
And my thing works a lot better.
Amen.
I don't need the government to give me the more. But see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What your hopes and dreams of in life, faith can bring them to pass for you, but it's going to require faith. You're going to have to believe you have something you can't see.
Yes.
See, when times are bad, you have to believe that you have something you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk around. You know, they used to have this there, you know, used to say this years ago a lot, you know, that, you know, Jesus said you can have what you say, and Christians are walking around saying what they have. Well, I say what I have, but I say it by faith. It would be Christians walk around mostly talking about what they see and what they feel. I gave that up years ago. Concerning my health, I gave that up because I found out you can't do that. You cannot talk about negative things and feel better. Can't do it. I never met a depressed person that didn't talk negative about stuff. They didn't, you know, they don't ever talk happy. They'll talk about, you know, you go see your psychiatrist and tell him how lousy things are going and that stuff. And those things. And now they found out, they just completed this big study and found out people exercising do better than the people who go to therapy. See, we need to understand something about our creation. I learned this long, long time ago about your body. See, God created your body to do certain things. God did not create our bodies to be able to just sit around and do leisure all the time and not do nothing. It was never created for that. That's not what it was. You know, we're always, you know, thank God for technology. It does things. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do things. Why? For your body's sake. To make your body work. When I was a kid, back in the 50s, they started this thing off. It was coming up the space age. And you know what they told us? You weren't going to, after a while, have to eat. You were going to take just some pills, some vitamin pills and stuff like that. And you just live. I'm sorry. That didn't work. And it won't work. Why? Because your body is designed to handle food in certain ways. And it's going to have to take food. And you don't, and your body will quit on you. So it works that way. And we need to understand, God created it like that, not man. God created it. So you're going to have to eat. Now, you know, I'm not over into the, I'm not a health food nut. You know, I'm not, you know, because, and I, you know, it is one thing. I'm a faith nut. That's what I am. So I'm not a health food. I'm not anything nut on any of the other kind of things because I know we live in a tainted world and there ain't nothing perfect out there for you that's going to save you. It's not going to do that. And but you need to get in yourself and that stuff and walking in this light of the way things are. We as Christians, we need to walk in the side concerning health. You know, there's certain things about it. There's one thing about, like, say, with your health. If we would do by faith from a natural side of things, then and the spiritual has its side. In a way, they're sort of identical on what you do. And the natural side, if you want to develop strong muscles, it isn't just from eating. You can see, I tried that, you know. I did what my mama said. She said, eat your food, you'll get big and strong. And I ate the food and didn't do nothing, and I got big. But she lied about the strong thing. It didn't go there. I didn't get strong. I got fat. And I did. I grew nice and plump. I'll tell you what. I was big for the picking, you know. Well, I had to do something about that. Number one is burning energy. Here's the thing you're going to need to learn. All these diets and all these things that people go through. I'm just going to tell you a very simple thing, and medical science knows it and knows it's true, but you don't find it in things. You've got all these health people doing all this crazy stuff. You're going to have to burn off as much as you're taking in to keep your weight down. You can't take. You have to burn off the calories you take in. You got to be able to burn them off. If you can't, if you want to lose weight, then that means you got to less calories. You got to take less calories in if you want to lose weight, and that's the way it's done. Now people say, well, you know, we have diets and you can eat as much as you want and lose weight and all that kind of. Hey, people say that, go ahead. Now today it's just like they said, these people that are taking these injections of these, you know, these different drugs they have now, they say it's good, but they found this out. As soon as they quit taking the drug, these people's weight comes back again. Well, I found out, you know, one of the things. It's disciplining yourself. Well, just from the natural and doing it, the faith side's identical. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just as a question, if you want to develop muscle, you're going to have to do things that cause you to use your muscles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, let me just say this to you. In general, your legs are not going to get strong just from walking. They're not. It's weight resistance. We do. When somebody wants to develop muscles, what do they do? You got to start to use those muscles, but you got to put some kind of pressure against those muscles. So, ever how far you want to go to get strong, you're going to have to do that. You know, there's a lot of people. You know, you could walk around and you could want to pick up. And you could. I want to be able to press 250 pounds. I want to be able to do that. Well, you're not going to ever do that if all you ever do is. Say, work out with 100 pounds. That's not going to happen. You're going to develop your muscle to that point of what you can lift. Faith is the same way. See, faith comes by hearing, but faith is not made strong by hearing.
That's right.
Come on.
Faith is made strong by doing.
Amen.
It's by putting it to work. You need to get this. You can sit and go to seminars all you want and listen to all the faith teaching you want. It will not make you strong till you start doing it, practicing it, putting it into work. You have to do that. You'll become strong in faith doing that. Another way, I can't get my body strong. I found out about this, is why people lots of times have very problems with health in their bodies, organs, right? Because their body structure, muscle structure is not good. So their body actually sags and it puts pressure on the rest of your body and organs because of the weakness of your body. So it causes problems with your organs. The better that you have your muscle structure, the better you are health-wise. It'll help your organs function better on the inside. See, we're on this medical science. You just take a pill, you just do this, you do that. We got to stop this stuff. They just finished a study about this. They said they took elderly people that are on at least 6 medications, they never improve. They always, mostly all get worse health-wise. They said, why? Well, they wanted to find out why. Why is this going on? They said, the medications, they're working against each other, and the side effects. They said the person's health declines. Do you want to know why I saw those people walking around? I will guarantee you. Guy my age, the average person my age is taking 6 medications or more. Do we want to know why? We aren't going to pill ourselves out of this thing. Why would Jesus would have been an idiot to die for what he died for if the doctors could take care of it?
Come on.
Now, I'm just telling you. It's just, we need to get down these facts. Thank God for what people can do. Thank God, you know, for what, but it ain't enough.
Come on.
It's not enough. I need better. I want better. And you should want better. You know, it requires work. Is taking those things, living a life that the words in this book, you believe them. Amen. More than what you see around you and you hear around you.
Amen.
That you believe these words. That those words are the things that, see, it's yourself. You became a Christian when you got born again. Do you really know what you are? Do you talk like you are, or do you talk like you're everybody else? Like the rest of the people? I'm going to tell you, I ain't like none of the sinners.
Amen.
I ain't like none of them. You know why? Because I don't believe I'm like them.
Amen.
See, if I believe like I'm everybody around me and that stuff, I'll tell you what, ain't no way I'm like everybody else around me. I'm thinking different.
Amen.
My life, what I believe in, I believe in things that I cannot see. And by that, I can speak and bring those things to pass. The world walks in a place and all they talk is what they see, is what they have around them. And they're trying to change things. We have Congress trying to change things and all they do is talk what we have and what we see. And they make bills based on what we have and what we see. And that's all they do. They don't stop and say, you know what, we're in a mess, let's call on the Lord. No, let's make another bill. And then all the Christians will write him and say, you need to change this law. I'm sorry, I don't live by law. They don't have to make laws about me cheating and stealing. I ain't doing it. They don't have to keep me from quitting murdering people. They don't have to make laws. The laws are made for the lawless.
Amen.
See, we should be living in a completely different place. I don't identify what other people want and like in life. I don't identify with them.
Amen. Come on.
I can identify from this. I was like that when I was a heathen.
Come on.
I understand it. I understand what it's like. You see, we're in an ugly world. And I'm just going to say this. It's not going to get easier for you to walk in faith if you don't start developing in a walk in. It ain't going to get better. Right now in America, let me just say this. The Lord's been dealing with this. The spirit of Antichrist is growing strong in America. The stuff that's going on out here against the law and governing authorities, this is all Antichrist. You need to understand the Antichrist spirit. Laws ain't going to get rid of it. Laws ain't going to change it. Man must be changed. God changed me. We're trying to bring change without God. The church is trying to bring change without God. We're relying on people that we need to understand. As I've always said this. We put too much pressure on our doctors and different things like to do for us what God gave us ability to do, and we're expecting out of them. We got to stop this stuff. We got to stand up. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, give them something to shout about. Get well. Amen. Instead of coming back and needing more pills. I don't... No. They need help. I know. The cardiologist that had drugged me, and I went in and he's sitting down talking with me one time and talking to me about my heart and that stuff. He said, "You're doing really good and everything." And he said to me, and I said, "Look," I said, "you need to understand, I don't expect you to take care of everything with me. I don't expect that."
Come on.
And he looked at me and said, "Could you come in and talk to some of my patients? Do you realize the pressure they're under? They got people coming in who are in terrible shape and doing nothing about their shape. They're coming in, not taking care of themselves at all, nothing in their life, and they expect somebody else to take care of them when they're in trouble. You know what? Christian, that's not walking in love. We shouldn't be surprised so many Christians are sick. They don't walk in love. I shouldn't be looking after somebody else supposed to take care of me. If I have a care, the Bible tells me who I'm supposed to cast it on.
Amen.
It's good preaching, folks.
Yes, sir. Great preaching.
See, we need to come to this level. There's a higher level, and we need to go there. It's the Spirit-filled life will take you there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We need to understand. I want you to understand the condition. I'm going to read to you from the book of Jude. This is a good uplifting place. It is if you understand what's going on.
Yes.
I want to tell you what. Jude was so prophetic in what he said. This is the exact church world we're living in today. Jude was writing what was going on in the church. This is, he's talking about all these ugly people sinning. It's the people in the church. The people in the church. Now, I'm going to start at verse 17. But before that, he talks about these people that are in your love feasts. And what are they? They're living by the flesh. They live fleshly lives. They're in there. They're not in your church to do good. They're just, they became Christians, but they're living like hell. They live for themselves. They walk in the flesh. They just do whatever they do for themselves. He talks about these, what these individuals do. Then he goes and he said this, verse 17, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." Listen to what he says. Now these are people in the church, because if you read the intake to this from the beginning down, these are people, he said, what are they doing? These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. See, people say they don't have the Spirit, and they take, oh, see, they aren't saved. That's not what he's talking about. The next verse will prove it. He's talking about this because he says to the believers, the ones that are walking right, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." It's praying in other tongues. You see, we got a real problem. You know what's really led the church into carnality? We've had a move of God that started off back in the, well, actually, it started off from the 1950s, during the healing revivals in the 1950s. God was moving. A lot of people got filled with the Holy Ghost from those meetings, at the healing meetings and stuff that were going on. But then there became a major move where God moved, where we got into the late 60s and into the 70s and what they called the charismatic renewal. God getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you what, I can take you to places in churches that were full of the Holy Ghost back at that time. God moved in, and today they're carnal churches, is crazy. They're going on with all this woke stuff, and they're open to the homosexuals and that stuff. Yeah, there's, God loves them. God loves everybody, so everybody's all right. It's exactly the kind of thing Jude's talking about. People without the Spirit. Christians without the Spirit. Holy Ghost people who left it. Because what does he say to you? He says, "But you, beloved," now he's telling you what, "build yourself up." You see, people aren't building themselves up. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen to an individual is you get something from God and then leave it. The guy that don't know nothing about it, that never got it will do better than the guy who got it and left it. To whom much is given, much is required. You understand? Get a hold of that principle. You always got to walk in the light of what you got. Because if you don't, it will cost you. And see, these ones, and we're living in that today. I don't want to live in that place. But he said, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, builds you up in your most holy faith. It's something that fortifies your faith. So just reading scriptures ain't enough. Jude said, look, why? Because you're dealing. We're in a time and place today in the church world. The church in general stinks. The body of Christ in general across America stinks. It's filled with even people who aren't even saved. And people tell them, you're all right, you're okay. We got ministers standing in pulpits, and they aren't even born again. And even the people who are born again don't even know it. They don't know the Spirit themselves. People are messed up as crazy. Oh, you know, you go around people today, just tell me what I like to hear, then you're all right if you're a person that does that. You know, give me a positive message. Well, I'm going to give a positive message. Straighten out. You'll get blessed. Don't straighten out. You're in trouble. That's life. I mean, it's just what it is. I know my mama taught me that. Strap up or get whooped. You know? You know? It wasn't complicated. It wasn't hard. You know? It didn't. My mama loved me. My God, she put up with me. She liked God. She kept me anyhow. Hallelujah. But you build yourself up in your most holy, praying in the Holy Spirit. Then he says, now this, build yourself up, what it says, keeping yourself in the love of God. I want you to understand this. Much of Christianity don't walk in the love of God. Come on. They don't walk in the love. They walk in the love of this world. God just accepts anything and everything. If God loves you, it's all. Now we're all going to go to, everybody goes to heaven. There's groups that even believe, and I know God's Spirit-filled minister got over and off and in the nuts. He believes now that even the devil's going to be in heaven. Wow. Wow, that's pretty good. I was really glad to hear it because I said to him, man, I didn't think you were going to make it. I'm glad you straightened that out because I didn't believe you were going to get there preaching what you're preaching. I was really glad to find out for your sake you're going to be in heaven. Oh, yeah. They're out there. I know a Spirit-filled minister, he died not long ago here, guy, and he died, really suffered terrible, he died of cancer. The devil killed him. He died, but he got over, you know, and all this crazy stuff. And, you know, God loves everybody, and, you know, you could be a homosexual, you could be anything you want, you could be a Christian and live any kind of life you want. And, that's a, and he came from, you know, he was one of Oral Roberts' proteges. So you see, the devil, if you don't stay and walk in the light of the Word of God, you'll get a lot of beliefs.
Come on.
You'll get a lot of beliefs. You see, back when I came in the kingdom, among the Spirit-filled people at that time were much walking much closer on the teachings concerning divine healing and things. Walking much closer. Today, people are about 50 miles away from it and think they're in it. They don't know. You know, I just, a church, I heard an individual let us know about something. But a church a Brother Hagin did many years ago that Brother Hagin had been at, a powerful end time prophecy he gave at that church. And that church today is as flaky as the day is long. Just as flaky, flaky stuff. You can tell when you're going to get healed if you get a certain vibration. Well, I tell you what, just sense your phone on vibrating. You get a vibration. Our recliner has a vibrator in. I'll tell you, he just, I think I'm going to get healed. I'm going to go get on the vibrator. They get flaky. That's why as you move away from the Word of God. See, we have trends in America and that kind of stuff, things going on out here that are in, that have gotten in. People have left the Word. Why? They have left the Spirit. See, it don't surprise me there's a lot of groups that got away. But there's Spirit-filled people who walked in the light now are at the same place they're at. Why? It's just like they were never Spirit-filled. Just like they never knew in the revelations. It's just, now they're walking in all this stuff. Brother Hagin had a minister who followed him really close. He used to go to a lot of his meetings and stuff all over the place. Where Brother Hagin would go, he'd go to his meetings. Brother Hagin died. He collected up all of his books and tapes and sent them back to Rhema. He said, well, that time's over now. We're going on to something else. He said, I can get more people in my church, he said, by the way that he's going than you can by the gifts of the Spirit and stuff. He said, we don't need those. He said, I can get more people. Well, I'm sure he's getting people in. Joel, we read Jude talking about these folk. I guarantee you that's where his church is. It's full of junk. It's full of junk. We can get more people. I'm not interested in getting more people. The people we get, we want them saved.
That's right.
Praise God.
I want to run into them at heaven.
Amen.
We're not just feeling, you know. See, a lot of this, you can tell people get in the flesh. You know, I know a minister, and he'd talk all the time, and I'd hear him, and it really bothered me. I listened to him because I thought, you know, I want a big church. And, you know, he always talked about that. And I used to say, you know, I've never heard him ever say he wanted a spiritual church. He always wanted a big one. And he got himself a big one, and it ain't spiritual. You know, why don't we shoot for both? But I want something spiritual first, not just big. You can have big. See, get over in the areas of faith, walking in these areas of faith. I want to encourage you is to do that. We as believers, we need to understand faith. Get out of this thing. What God says we have and what we are does not make sense in the natural. I can tell you how I became and arrived to where I'm at, walking with the Lord. It's what I said I was going to be years ago.
Amen.
It's not, oh, now I'm doing good. No, I said I was doing good. I said I was growing in the Lord when it didn't look like Ed was growing in the Lord at all. I talked about myself as being full of the Holy Ghost, walking in the light. When me, I was wondering sometimes if my batteries were dying in my flashlight. I'd say, the Bible says, you know, that I was righteous, I was holy. I thought, man, I need to get living righteous and holy. But you know what? I was made righteous and holy. I started talking like I was. I started saying what God said about me. I started speaking as the Bible says, when God speaks about Abraham, God who calls things that don't exist as though they do. I became where I was spiritually by saying things that didn't seem at all like I was, but I called those things that be not as though they were, and they manifested in me. You don't know nothing about faith if you're always trying to use something the outside. You've got to get it working on you.
Come on.
You ain't going to get much working on anybody else. You won't have confidence to do it. You get it working in you. See, I got it working in me. You know, I know God heals by faith. You know, the majority of people that are ever going to get healed are going to get healed by faith. Thank God for manifestations of gifts of healing. But they only operate as the Spirit wills, not as we will. But anybody can get healed anytime by faith.
Come on.
We go over and you read down through in Hebrews 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible, absolutely impossible for you and I to please God except by faith. Believing something we can't see. If you believe what you see, you're not in faith. I've never seen God, and I believe one. I believe there's one. And now you know what? I'm right in line with what Jesus taught. Jesus told Thomas, hey, yeah, you believe because you see me. He said, who's blessed? He didn't say you're blessed, Thomas. He said, blessed are those that don't see and believe. I'm the blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I didn't see him, and I believe it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. We're blessed.
Amen.
We're the blessed group. That's faith. That's what God does. See, we walk around, we talk about a God kid. People say, well, you know, prove God. You know, I can't see Him. That's right. You can't see Him. And you're not going to until you respond to Him by faith.
Amen.
Do you know why God heals and does things like that with sinners and does things? To prove people there is a God. To prove that God is good. That's why He does. Christians ain't supposed to be running around trying to figure out if God's good. No, He'll prove you're good. You're supposed to believe He's good.
Come on.
And He, you know, if anything, if God's going to heal anybody in the crowd, it'll be me.
Amen.
That's right.
See, well, that sounds arrogant. Well, stay sick. and stay with your pride. Why would he do that? Faith. Just a simple thing. Why would I know he'd do that? Because in the crowd, I'll be in faith. Amen. I've been walking in the crowd since I got born again. And I'm going to tell you what, God has done so much for me in the areas of healing and things, has done so much in the crowd. And I look around and the crowd don't get near what I get. Why? I'm not special. I just believe it where it's true.
Amen.
It's not special. I believe in what I can't see. Hallelujah. See, I believe in this one. It's like Paul said to God, the one he committed himself to. Hallelujah. This God will keep. See, you're committed. I'm committed to the faith. I'm committed into believing a God I can't see. I'm committed to believe his word's true when everything in the natural says, nah, that can't be. When every scientist stands up and says, no, that can't work that way. No, we don't have that. You see, that's where you come. This is the place that we live. When we walk by faith in this thing, when you put it to practice, the more you put into practice that what you can't see is true, the stronger your faith gets.
Amen.
When you need to see it to believe it, the weaker your faith gets.
Amen.
See, the stronger your faith gets, but the Bible's true.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says I'm healed. Well, if I'm sick, well, we have a choice. Am I right or the Bible? Well, I gave it up a long time ago. God's right, Ed's wrong.
Come on.
See, I did that, you know, in the areas of my finances and everything. God's right. I'm right. Don't matter my condition. God's right.
Amen.
God says I'm blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God said, if you give, it's given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom. Oh, and they do. You know what? They don't do it because of Ed. They do because God said it. God said it's a demand. His word is a demand to come to pass. Mm-hmm. If I agree with it, the demand is out and it's going to have to be carried out.
Amen.
Because God's behind it.
Right.
It ain't Ed behind it.
Amen.
God is the one behind his word. And if he don't stand behind his word, he is not worthy to be worshipped. He's not worthy to be praised. He's just a lying scumbag. And my God ain't. I don't have to make excuses why something doesn't work. I can just stop and say, Ed, you just don't understand enough. The word is right. I need to come in line with, if I come in line with the word and I understand the word, it will work for me. Folks, this is really the spirit-filled life.
Amen. Praise God.
This is a life. You know, say, tongues don't make sense. I don't understand it. That's the beauty of it.
Amen.
It requires faith.
Amen.
I believe it's working. No, most of the church wants comfort. They want everything that's easy, that it makes sense to me. I want a miracle that makes sense to me. Miracles don't make sense.
Amen.
The fact that Alan's here today does not make any physical sense. The doctors believe he's supposed to be dead. That's what happened when I first saw the doctor after I got out of the hospital. And he said, go see your regular doctor. And I went in and she said, you're alive. That's the first thing she said to me. You're alive. I said, showing up.
Amen.
I won't ever do it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, after surprise them, don't surprise me. Why? The word of God's true.
Hallelujah.
See, we're not trying to get something. We have something. Meditate on the fact. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. There's not any kind of blessing that God has not already given you. It's yours. What you and I want to do is find out what all these blessings are. And then receive and say, you know, that's mine. Say, well, it don't look like mine. I don't look like I have it. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I feel. I don't care. The Bible says I'm like that. Then I'm like that. The Bible says I'm righteous. Well, then I'm righteous. See, now I want you to think about this. The Bible says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're as righteous as God is. You go preach that in churches and they'll throw you out.
That's right.
Who do you think you are? I'm exactly what the Bible said. I have God's righteousness. I don't have mine.
Amen.
I got God's. I'm as righteous as God is. In the presence of God, that's why I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive it. Anybody who doesn't believe righteousness like I do, they can't come boldly.
Come,
they'll wimp and whine to try to get God to help them and go through all their religious things saying they're being humble, and it ain't humility, it's stupidity. I can run in here when I've done wrong. I can run to God and say, I'm stupid. You saw it.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Bless me, I need help. And he says, sure enough, I have grace to help you in time of need.
Amen.
That's our God. That's our Bible.
Amen.
Don't write another one.
Come on.
To keep religious people happy. I ain't in the business of keeping religious people happy. Because if you start playing that game, I see what it ends up to be. You end up to be like they are, unreligious. We have a religion that's set by Jesus Christ. It's a life of God. Let's live it and proclaim it. I'm just going to tell you, the world wants to hear this message. This is why they don't run to that other. They're tired of that other message.
That's right. That's right.
God has you poor for a purpose. Well, what is it? Well, I don't know. I always tell these people, well, he's pretty stupid. He's a teacher, but nobody can understand what he's doing. Isn't he an idiot? Worst teacher in town. God has me sick for a reason. I said, well, what's the reason? I did this one time in a meeting. In fact, we were over off of Cumberland Street there. There's some guys came into the church. There was about four or five of them that sat down together. And I was talking on healing. And one guy, he said, yeah, about God healing for healing. And he said about a purpose. He said, yeah, God makes you sick for a purpose. And I embarrassed him good saying it. I just embarrassed him good. Why? Makes a public statement. He needs to be embarrassed. He's a Christian. And I said to him, there's a purpose in it. I said, let me ask you this. What's the purpose that God's given those little kids up here in the hospital, here at the medical center and the children's hospital, that cancer and all that stuff? What's his purpose? What bad thing did they do? What did they do that they need to learn? What is it? And he just sat there totally silent. And I just said, you know, you need to keep your mouth shut when you don't.
Amen.
You make statements and people hear that. Ministers say those things from pulpit. If I was in a congregation and a minister talked like that, I'd leave that church.
Come on, preach.
That's
right. God loves you so much, he's going to make you sick. We lock people up in jail for making their kids sick. Now we have a God, but he's God. He knows what he's doing. Well, then explain it to me. If I'm made sick for a purpose, I want to know what the purpose is. I have to know. Can you do the will of God without knowing his purpose? Well, you couldn't do the will of God then. You're sick and don't know why. So you can't do the will of God. And it's God's fault. And then on the other side, he's mad because you ain't doing his will. We got a confusing Christianity. This is why, as a young kid, I left and never went to church. Got away from my parents in the church life because I thought Christians were nuts. And I was right. They were. They preached a God who's schizophrenic. I love you, and I'm going to torture you good.
Come on.
Amen. Yep.
I could never understand it. This God was good. My parents said to me, do you want to go to heaven? I said, no. Well, boy, did we tell you, in our house, that was something, man. You're in a plain house, you know, and women wear coverings, and the guys wear Nehru suits and stuff, and all this stuff, and they're sitting around, and that kind of stuff. And I said, no. And he said, they were like, why? I said, well, why do you think a God that treats you bad here is going to be good to you when you get there? Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't answer. They just got mail. How dare you? How dare you speak against our doctrine? Not the Bible, our doctrine. Say, my God, we raised a heathen. I'm just going to tell you something. One of the best things I ever did for me, and I think is one of the reasons I grew in faith quick, because I rejected religion.
Come on.
Most people get times they get born. I found this about many sinners. Not even, they have a lot of religious beliefs, and when they carry them into the church, when they get saved, and they have a lot of religious beliefs, you got to get rid of that stuff. See, I rejected it. I wouldn't go with it. I said, no. I stayed away. I didn't want to hear it. First book I ever read of Kenneth Hagin's, I was a sinner. And it was gave me the book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. This guy, now this is, I'm not a Christian. But this guy was led by God to give me this book. I'm not a Christian. He said, read this book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. See, I was involved in sorcery and all that kind of stuff. I knew I could get spirits to manifest. See, that's one thing. I don't understand Christians that can't get God to show up. I just blows my mind. I don't mind, you know. You get the devil to show up. God wouldn't. If he's in the business of saving people, seems to me he would be more inclined to show up. But, you know, so I read that book. And I gave it back to the guy. I said to him, I said, this is the first person I've ever read after it actually knows how the spirit realm works. I said in the church, I said under more sermons than all of you ever did together at it. And I tell you what, they didn't know at all how the spirit realm worked. They know a thing about it. See, I didn't realize it. I was in a search. See, I believed in eternal things. I believed there was more to it. I believed there was power that came from a realm we couldn't see. That's why I got over in the area. I couldn't see demons. But you know what? They operate the same way the people operate. They operate by faith. The spirit realm operates by faith. I don't care which side you're on. I found out when I yielded to them and believed what they would do, they would manifest themselves. Christians know how to get the devil manifest better than they do God. They know how to get the negative working. They'll talk about it. They'll do it. They'll know how to get the evil working. They get the devil overdoing stuff by what they're talking and saying and believing.
Amen.
Well, see, when I read after Kenneth Hagin, I thought, well, I thought about this over time. I thought, you know, this God side, if he's God, then he's more powerful than Satan. So if I get over on that side, I can get bigger things. Bigger and better.
Amen.
I didn't go to a God who was doing worse.
Amen.
Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If God's stealing, killing, and destroying, Jesus Christ, he said, his father's the devil. He said, I came to give you life. I can truthfully testify to this. And Alan Short can.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the life giver.
Hallelujah.
Jesus didn't steal a thing from him.
Amen.
And you need to know, if in your life in any way you're stealing, they're stealing and killing and destroying it, get yourself settled on the fact, this ain't God. This God ain't the steal and kill and destroy. You know, we may have done things that set up and open doors of things. But see, how can you trust the one who you think is doing you harm? I've had people believe that God made them sick and then asked me to pray for them. I said, you ain't going to pray the will of God off of you. You keep that. What do you want to get God's will off you? He made you sick. It's for a purpose. Well, then you put up with it. Don't come ask me to pray to get off of you. You want to get out of the will of God? You ought to be asking for something stronger. You remember, understand this. This stuff is talked in Christianity and people hear it.
Amen.
Don't be one of them that talks about it. I'll tell you what. The devil's ugly and God's good. And there's another thing I learned. You know, I'm just growing up and learning. I'm still growing and learning. And I'm not perfect, God is.
Amen.
And the blessing in my life comes from Him. He does for me exceedingly abundantly above what I imagine or think, according to the power that's working in me. What's working in me? What's working in me? So I get down to yourself. What's working in me? What is working? The other thing, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Are we letting Him perform in us as much as He wants to do? Are we letting that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead really quicken our mortal bodies? Do you know your brain is in your mortal body? I found this out. The more that I get right on this side, the more my thinking gets better.
Amen.
To letting the one on the inside enlighten me.
Amen.
Change my thoughts.
Amen.
See, my thoughts weren't changed by religion. They were thought changed. The teacher's on the inside of me.
Yes.
The teacher's on the inside. Hallelujah. He'll enlighten you of the goodness of God. That's what He does. You need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. Now, I had experience with the Holy Spirit, where dealing with things and dealing with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me about, and I asked him questions about things. There's one thing I learned about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, his whole ministry is to reveal Jesus. If anyone that he's in love with or what he wants to do is Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to get the Holy Ghost to stop working for you, start talking bad about Jesus. Start doing things. See, this is why people don't, they say things. They talk about Jesus doing the bad stuff. And they don't realize the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this himself. He said, I'll forgive you of anything. But he said, the Holy Spirit won't. And one of the things I do is I honor Jesus.
Amen.
Because you know why? It needs the Holy Ghost. He's the agent in the earth that I have here. Jesus is literally seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
He's the one that's just like him. He said, when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. There's one that lives in me. It's just like Jesus.
Amen.
But that one in me, he's in love with Jesus.
Amen.
And you don't bet, you treat Jesus right. You make sure you do that. This is why this Spirit-filled life, this is about letting the Holy Spirit manifest Jesus.
Amen.
And we've done a shame in the church in the last two or three decades by hampering the move of God in the earth. The Spirit-filled church has done nothing but hamper the move of God in the earth. And it don't make the Holy Spirit happy. Well, what do I do about it? Let me just say this. This is what you do about it. Don't worry about the rest of them, what they're doing. You get straight. That's what I found. God deals with me about me.
Amen.
See, I can say it out there and say, boy, you know, they need to do this. Now, what am I doing?
Come on.
What am I walking in that I believe? What am I doing with my belief?
Amen.
Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest through me like he wants to? Am I allowing that to happen? Jesus' ministry. How did Jesus draw people's attention to God? What did he do? He did things. The Bible tells us he went about doing good. He was anointed by God to do good and to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. The doing good was his preaching and teaching. That's what he's doing good. And healing. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to get the healing ministry back.
Amen.
Why? It's the dinner bell to people. Mm-hmm. God will manifest to the unbeliever that God is real and true and does good.
Yeah.
If God does good by making people sick, well, America ought to be the most spiritual nation in the earth. If you want to get close to God, go to the hospital. Well, is it? I could scare you with some things about hospital about a moment. Things I know. Spiritually, what goes on in places. You know, hospital's a good place to end up with a demon. Now, I'm not saying to criticize. It's just funny. When you're around places of death, when people die, if they got a spirit, that spirit leaves and he looks for a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You go. This is why you don't just go places like that just for, you know, not in faith. You better understand faith.
Come on, man.
I ain't going home with worse than what I got.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's many people in hospitals that have spirits of infirmity, and the person gets it, and they find out they have all kind of problems going on in them. It ain't natural.
Amen.
If Jesus cast spirits out of people and disease left, then it could be very a cause today of many.
Mm-hmm.
This is why this Spirit-filled life, you want to walk in it. You don't go to churches that don't believe this kind of stuff in the Spirit-filled life. The ones that don't believe this, but they don't know this stuff. They don't ever mess with the devil or anything. You know, we're just walking around here. We're just going to be good. I'm sorry, you're dealing with an enemy and he hates you.
Right.
And every opportunity he can get, walk around like he don't exist. And I'll tell you what, I will find proof in your life all the time that he exists.
Amen. Preach.
Many people go there. You know, I do Christians deal with this stuff with depression and things all the time. Don't realize it's a spirit.
Yes.
Now, I'll get to guarantee you, any one of you people at times, you deal, do you ever come in and you just don't feel right for a time? You just feel depression. You're dealing with spirit. You're in a realm of spirits. Kenneth Hagin said this when as a young Christian. He said, if you could see, he said, if people, he said literally, now he said literally, this wasn't a thing. He said, most Christians would die of fright if they literally saw the demons that were around them.
Come on.
He said they'd literally die of fright. See, we have to believe the angels around. The devil's here. He's the God of this world.
Come on.
Right. His system is here. You need to, they're around you. They are looking. Now, this isn't to scare you. They're looking for a place to get in. You can easily keep them out.
Come on.
You know, I've learned the thing. I refuse. I'm not going to be depressed. But you know what? It'll try to come on me. Sometimes you know, they used to, you know, used to back in the 50s and 60s, they'd sing those songs about feeling blue. I'm feeling blue, you know. I don't know if you remember those things. And what they meant is, you know, I got some depression going on. Well, they sang it into this generation. Because depression is at a very high rate in this nation. Antidepressants are, I mean, they're the candy of the medical industry today. And why? We're trying to do things and psychologically deal with people not resisting the devil. They're stopping and saying, hey, I refuse to be. I am not going to be depressed.
Amen.
Devil, you ain't depressing me.
That's right.
I refuse to have that. I ain't feeling blue.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, those things will come to people and they'll come. You entertain them. Well, I've just been feeling and I've just been, you know, I've just been that and I've just, yeah, good job. There's a demon for it. They will look for weakness in you. I've watched this way. If you ever find a person who has an actual, you know, a person can have a mental problem because their brain doesn't work right. Just like you'd have your stomach, you know, you could have upset stomach and a person's brain can do that. And I found this out. If you get a person who mentally over on that side doesn't feel, you'll always find demons will try to take advantage of that person to carry him off to something worse. Always do. Always, always. Always. See, they look for weakness. That's what they look for. They look for weakness, and you've got to know that about it. Don't give them a place. The Bible says don't give place to the devil.
Come on.
Why would that be written in the Bible if you couldn't give place to him? It's written to Christians.
Come on.
Don't give place to him. Why? He's always trying to find a place. And he does this to people. You know, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. My God, Jesus saved me because there was something wrong with me. So you ain't surprised me none that there was something wrong with me. Hallelujah. But it'll start the thing. See, you'll find these things that prey on your areas of your weakness. Always on these things. I found out that spirits come along, and they're religious spirits. They come along and they do this to you. You know, well, you know, you're just not spiritual enough. And you're just not this. And you know, it gets you overthinking. You're always trying to go somewhere you think you're not. And you're there.
Come on.
You know, you're holy. And I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to get to be righteous. I'm trying. See, you're, well, you know, you had this, but you know, you don't do everything perfect. So this is what's wrong with you. And you start getting into that thinking. Don't be surprised after a while you end up depressed. Everybody, you're thinking, well, you know, I'm just not growing and I'm not doing good enough. You get thinking like that, it's demonic.
Come on.
That's not natural for you. That's not natural for the blessed person.
Amen.
You're blessed. You're blessed. See, if you took a child who's growing up and you did that to show them their weakness all the time, showing what they don't know, telling them, hey, they're growing up. See, we're growing up. God can't get you to grow. He don't cause you to grow by criticism. He causes you to grow by teaching. He gave us the Holy Ghost as a teacher, not the critic. Not to tell you all you're missing. He's not turning around, yo, you're in this situation, you got this problem, don't tell you how to get out. Well, what good is it? Don't tell me about the problem then. Shut up. But see, too many people, that's what they're living today. We left this, see, we had all this, and Michael, no. You know, back in those early days and that stuff, man, we talked like, man, us and God, we were just hanging out with each other. We were just, and this is the way people, this they did. They taught us confession. They taught us to confess and to say things about ourselves. We don't have this weakness. We didn't have the weakness we have today in the church.
Come on.
Religion brought in weakness. People, religion, talking about our weakness and our fear. I'm going to tell you what, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power is His might. Hallelujah. It tells you, put on the whole armor of God. I got it on. I put it on. Hallelujah. It didn't say, well, you know, I'm just not a good soldier. I'm sorry. I'm a great soldier. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
That's right.
The weakness of faith is in your mind. It's the way you'll let your mind destroy what's in your heart.
Come on.
Your heart wants to stand up bold. And the thinking on the outside keeps slapping him down. Mm-hmm. Go sit down. Go sit down. You know, I'm just so unworthy. Hallelujah. Well, from a natural standpoint, I was unworthy of salvation, but I got it. And I'm going to live like it's mine. I didn't get it because I never got healed because I was worthy to get healed. God even gave me the faith from His Word to get me healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But you know what? I don't turn around and turn it down because I didn't develop it. You know what? He keeps giving it to me. I keep taking it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, keep taking the stuff. You need to get a bigger basket. Yours is too small.
That's right.
Your basket runs over too easy.
Yeah.
You want a big basket, so when it flows over, it's worthwhile. Then it'll be a good rollover too.
Yeah.
A little basket don't take much. You roll it running over and you got only a little bit left. If it's a big basket and it overflows, my God, the overflow itself is wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, God gave you a big basket. Let's carry it. Continually fill that basket with the right words and saying the right things.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said if you give, He said be given and you press down, chain, you got to run over, men will give in your bosom. I always said, people will give to me. God will send somebody from another nation who's a heathen to give to me.
Yes.
God will always find somebody to give to me. Because I'm a giver. And He ain't a liar.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't stuck on an employer. I got so many people working for me, it's incredible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God, I got billions of employees.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Trying to find out how to get Ed stuff. See, how powerful do you think God is? You think God can move on a heathen?
Amen.
Well, I know He can because He moves on Christians. Well, you got saved, weren't you, as a heathen, didn't you?
Yes.
He came to search you out. You weren't looking for Him. He's looking for you. I know God gets a hold of heathens. In the Bible, we have God gets a hold of heathens. God anoints a sinner king. His name's Cyrus. It's called God's anointed. The Bible says He was anointed. Sent Israel back to build the temple. God got a hold of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's Cyrus is out there looking at Ed today.
Amen.
See, get yourself a thinking. Get yourself over thinking. Wouldn't depression leave you if you thought like that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
See, if you can't stay around, it's the way you think about yourself.
Come on.
It's the way you think about yourself. See, when you're out there looking to everybody else to keep you happy, I got a God that's made me really happy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's walk in the light. Let's stand to our feet today here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. See, God's good again and again and again. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It didn't work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say this. One thing is, when I was growing up spiritually, I find this because you do this as a kid. You look at other people and things God does, and you think, well, you know, I can't do that, this and that. You know, don't sit down. Don't measure yourself against what somebody else does. You measure yourself against the Word. You'll never grow in the Word when you measure what you see about other people.
Amen.
You measure yourself with the Word. See, you might sit today and look and say, boy, you know, I went through this and I wouldn't have had to. And you can go over there and go to that there. Well, I'll get a group of people together and we'll have a discussion and talk about how sad it is of what we've done. And you go nowhere. No, you stop and you say, well, I'm going to grow in the Word. See, that's what I decided. I'd sit down and I would read after Kenneth Hagin and listen to his tapes and do all that, of all the miraculous things that happened to him. And you know what? I'd look and say, you know what? One day I'm going to walk in that. That's where I'm going. I didn't sit down and say, well, you know, he got that, but you don't know my... See, he's got all this stuff and he's here and he's got this big school, but I'm here, man, I'm going to tell you, we're just making ends meet. Mm-hmm. See, I could have got into that place. No, I didn't. I saw myself. It's like, hallelujah, I'm born of God. That's who I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The words that he's preaching are the words to me too.
Amen.
And I just decided I was going to have a life where God could show up and manifest himself to me and through me. That's what I was going to have. All I had to do is get the information. That's what I had to do. See, a lot of people, they don't do that. They sit down and look at somebody else and they throw in the towel for defeat. Well, I went through all this. Well, if you didn't know, you didn't know. I mean,
that's right.
God don't hold you against what you don't know. Dear Lord, would you do that? Take a child who wasn't taught how to read or write and then, you know, scold them for not being able to read and write? No, you just, I was just this. No, God wants to bless me. See, get that in there. God wants to, that's his great desire is to bless you. See, I know it's from a scriptural standpoint, but I had God tell me that himself. He spoke to me in an audible voice, and he said about his children, how he loves to bless his children, how he wants to bless them. And he told me, he said, I love to bless my children. He's a blesser. He don't have something else to do.
Amen.
For the Lord is good. Well, the Lord is good sometimes. You know, no, he's a blesser. That's what he is. He looks at you and he's waiting for you to give him opportunity. How do we do that?
Amen.
Our voice.
Amen.
See, if our voice becomes criticism to ourselves and our thinking becomes criticism to ourselves, we close the door on blessing.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you, your mouth is going to end up following. Here's one thing as I know. Christians learn around other Christians. We have a language we talk. But many Christians, when they get away from other Christians, have another language they talk.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we get around us here. We believe in healing and we say all that stuff here. But I find out people get out around other people, they're saying other things. If you get your talking right, talk about yourself. You know, you're going to find this about people. If you're going through trouble, there's people who always want to dig out and have you tell them about everything about what your problem is. Why? Because they can get you to talk about it enough. Them and the devil will keep you in a place that is oppressed as they are.
That's right.
Come on.
Loads of people don't like to see people blessed.
Come on, preach.
That's right.
Yep. They don't like it. I've been criticized by people because of getting blessed in things. People criticize. Christians criticize.
Come on.
Didn't like it. I'm going to tell you, somebody gets blessed, I'm happy.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing more wonderful to me than to preach the word and to see it work.
Amen.
There's nothing more wonderful. Because if it don't work, I mean, what's the purpose? What are we doing?
Amen. Come on.
Is to see it work.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I don't tell God's good and he don't do good stuff.
Amen. Come on.
I don't preach that stuff. Hallelujah. You know, if anybody's going to shoot me in the foot, it'd probably be me. But God don't.
Amen.
He doesn't do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's get our things and get ourselves straightened out here in this thing. I want you people to walk in the place that God has given you and sit down here today and say, look, it doesn't matter. The past doesn't matter. What's my future?
Yes.
Amen.
The world needs a future. They don't need your past.
That's right.
Come on.
They need a future. God is timeless. His glory isn't something in an Old Testament.
Come on.
He's timeless.
Yes.
To God, what he did, what we look in time is then. To him, it was the same day.
Amen.
Yes.
He's a God who changes not. We know this. He's merciful and kind. He even got those heathens that wouldn't believe in him that he took out of Egypt. He still gave them 40 years to live. And they all deserve to die. And his mercy, he gave them 40. I'm going to tell you, you can't go in the land, but I'm going to let you live and still give you manna. And your clothing ain't going to wear out.
Mm.
What a punishing God. He makes people sick for a purpose.
Come on.
He's full of mercy.
Amen.
Have you missed it? I want to tell you today, he's full of mercy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God's judgment turns out to be a blessing. Can you imagine that? You all deserve to die. So this one, we'll give him 40 more years to live. Take care of it. The punishment was he couldn't get into the land. I want to tell you that. You're in the land.
Hallelujah.
You're already in the land. You're in it.
You're in the land. Hallelujah. And the land is full of wonderful fruit.
Amen.
It's full of wonderful things. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you're supposed to be living good off the land. Oh, it's a wonderful land you're in. Hallelujah. You're in this land. And you're God's child in this land. Hallelujah. You're like your daddy. Hallelujah. You're like your daddy. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, Lord, wonderful testimony of your love and mercy and kindness to us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you gave us faith so we can walk with you and please you and enjoy the wonderful bounty of your grace and mercy and kindness toward us. Father God, the devil came to steal and kill and destroy, but hallelujah. Lord God, you knocked him out again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Faith in the word knocked him out again. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you. I am so glad, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, for the wonderful testimony of the goodness and kindness of God. And I want to thank you, Father. It's for all of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I want to thank you. It's for all of us here in this place today. And Lord, everybody out there, Lord, you look across this community, all these sinners out there, all these ones without Christ. But Lord God, your blessings for every one of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You love them all, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to bless them. Lord, you're blessing them anyhow. You cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. You're still trying to do good to people. Hallelujah. Even when they're not doing good. Why? Because Lord, you're good and your mercy endures forever. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so merciful and kind to us. And Lord God, I say specifically for the church here in America, I want to thank you for being merciful to us and kind. Lord, many have not walked in the light that you've given them. Many have strayed away over in areas of darkness. And Lord God, but Lord, we have deserved judgment, but instill, you've upheld this nation. And Lord God, it has never been upheld by the unrighteous or the unjust. They don't uphold it. Lord, I want to thank you for those who walk with you, those who allow you, Lord God, to do your blessing and concerning this nation. I thank you for these people here. They're hungering and thirst for righteousness. And Lord God, you said they would be filled. So that settles the whole fact. They're going to be filled. That's just it. Hallelujah. We're not going to say anything else about it. They're hungering and they're thirsting and they're being made full. Hallelujah. Every day they're getting more full and more full. And more full. Every day it's a more full thing. Because you said so, Lord Jesus, and you can't lie.
Yes.
You can't lie. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can sure trust you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're doing what your word says. I want to thank you and each one standing here today that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of them right now.
Amen.
The great teacher. The great comforter, hallelujah. He's not the great troubler. He's not the great problem. He's not the great maker sick. He's none of those. He is a comforter. He's a helper. He is in them today. He's making even alive their mortal bodies today. I thank you their bodies are getting stronger and better in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, the natural body, the immune systems in their body are working better and better and better. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, sickness and disease stays far from them. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that they walk freely, Lord God. All the dust of sin that's kicked up in this world, it's not going to cling to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you they're going to walk in victory in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that they are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. I thank you that they are more conquerors. I thank you, Father God, hallelujah, that they have triumphed greatly in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says. Hallelujah. They're not trying to conquer. They're more than a conqueror is. Hallelujah. They've gone far beyond. They've gone with Jesus Christ and they have the victory. They're not trying to get it. Glory to God. They got the victory in life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave it to them. Hallelujah. They're going over and not under. They're the head and not the tail. They are above and they're not beneath. They're blessed when they go in and they're blessed when they go out. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. They are delivered from the curse. All sickness and disease, poverty, any evil thing, it is not theirs in the name of Jesus. They are blessed with the blessing of heaven. Hallelujah. Every blessing. Hallelujah. That's them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we don't look at things that we see. We look by faith. Hallelujah. And we declare what we can't see. It's ours in the name of Jesus. It belongs to us. Health, healing, soundness, a sound mind. Hallelujah. Thinking clearly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we don't get older and lose our mind. We get better. Hallelujah. We get clearer in the name of Jesus. Our thoughts are in toward the heavenly and not toward the earthly. Hallelujah. We set our minds on things above where Christ seats at the right hand of God. Glory to God. Our thoughts are of joy and peace. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. It's all working in us today. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that joy and peace are rising up big in us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, in our life, Lord God, we're satisfied in our salvation. Hallelujah. We're leaning on Jesus. Hallelujah. And He's upholding us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. As we go out of this place today, we go full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Full. Hallelujah. Lord God, full to running over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful story to tell. Hallelujah. And not a story of what happened in the past. It's a story of what we live today. This glorious God working mightily in us. And we will testify to it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
See, you can pray yourself happy.
Woo!
See, if you learn to do this. You need to learn about yourself. When you get in a situation and it's hard, you start doing what I was just doing there. That's what you do.
Amen.
This is what I am. This is what God's doing in me.
Amen.
Depression can't stay around.
That's right.
Hallelujah. My God, you say those things about yourself enough, after a while, you'll believe it's true.
Amen.
And that's what you want to do. Hallelujah. You say it enough till you believe it. And any other thoughts come, you'll say, we ain't going with that.
Amen.
That's not me. That's not for me.
Amen.
That's not mine. Hallelujah. This is what I am.
Amen.
I'm what God made me. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. And have a glorious, glorious week.
Amen.